Factor 6. Reaction is not action. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Mark 10:24. We cannot live by ourselves, for the self is not life. The self is a bundle of reactions, thoughts, emotions, beliefs, etc. We repeat the word God, but God is not the word God. The self is merely fed on words which condition it. It is the letter that killeth, Jesus said. It is only when you begin to see what the self is made up of. It is only because when you see why you believe in anything and what is behind your belief that you will know what your belief is. But if you do not know what your belief is and how it comes about, you'll still be caught up in your belief. The conditions which prevail in us are the result of home, business, social environment, and beliefs. All this, you will see if you begin to inquire, is but the result of hereditary tendencies with countless thousands of impressions, ideas, and prejudices. Most of this received from opinions, suggestions, and statements of those who are caught up in the false and are ignorant of the truth. And we accept what they say without consideration or examination. One may live in the false when one knows what is false. Then one is not caught up in that which is false, because he knows what is false. But if you do not know what is false, you're caught up in the false, and therefore you've lost everything because you are caught up in the false. If you condition yourself, you'll condition others too, because you look at another through your own conditioning. If you are prejudiced to any particular nationality, you will look at that individual through that particular nationality. But don't you see that you are looking to that individual through your own prejudice? That you are looking at that individual through your own conditioning? And therefore you condition the individual. How can you see the individual then free? How can you free yourself from that conditioning? First of all, you must free yourself. And then, if you are really free, you will see the other individual free of all, not as a particular nationality, or a particular group, or a particular religious sect, or is a Hindu, or is Muhammad. Don't you see clearly that unless you are able to see the other, stripped of all conditioning, you can't be free yourself, because you'll be looking at him through your own conditioning. But when we are aware, alert, we begin to question the opinions of others. And when we begin to search their statements, we find that they are speaking from ignorance and imitation, and not from truth. Yet this is not sufficient. We must question our own thought, feeling, reactions, to see where it is moving and what is the motive behind it. If I strip myself of everything that's in my mind, I know what it is. When I know everything that is in my mind, then I know what's in my mind. But that which I know is not real. It's only brought about by reactions, imitations, thoughts, and so forth. Therefore I know what is in my mind. What I gained through books and what I read here, the ideas and images I created, including my religious beliefs. I begin to see that they in themselves are just images, creations of my own mind. It is not substituting one belief for another. It is not, as a matter of fact, if you do not believe, you become an atheist, because is atheism and not another belief just the same? It is a belief just as another belief is a belief. You must free yourself from all these beliefs and these things in the mind, and then, when the mind is completely quiet and that stillness comes, there is an experiencing of reality, something that is beyond the mind, something that the mind can't comprehend, something that the mind can't put into an image, something that the mind can't put into words. Therefore, it's only the unknowable that is real. All that is known is not. All that is known is in the mind. The unknown is beyond. But when you see what is in your mind completely, it is all discerned, and you see then what it is, formulations, creations of your own, imitations, reactions, and conditions. Then they fall away, and then the mind becomes peaceful. And that stillness, there is the voice that is beyond the mind, the voice of infinity, the voice that is in itself creation, the word that was in the beginning. And that word was God. That word was with God. God was that word. And the word became flesh. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is no separation. There is no division in reality. There is only division in your mind. Therefore, if you know what is in your mind, you will see how untrue and how false it is. You will see that it is divided, and you are divided. Amongst yourselves you are divided. Why? Because you have not discerned that which is false. And immediately begin to see that which is false, so you begin to see that which is true. You can instill the mind by forcing the mind to be still. You have never stilled your mind yet, tried to force it to be still. You sit in a corner and try and control your thoughts. You'll find it can't be done. Even if you do sort of half in the surface, get that sort of superficial quietness. But right away, deep from your mind, there is agitation. Why, there is conflict going on all the time, because you have not dealt with that conflict. You do not know what it is. You have accepted it, and therefore you are caught up. Then you try to hold your mind in subjection, and you say, you be quiet. But is it quiet when you say be quiet? I think not. It's like putting a little boy in a corner after he's naughty. Then he's agitated to turn round, to get out of his condition. The same as the mind is the same thing. Unless you can see as I tell you, then you're caught up in this and that, and you'll never be free. My point, my work to you is to help to free you. I don't want you to accept what I say. If you believe what I say, then that's your misery, not mine. Then you'll struggle with it, and you'll say that this is the authority for your belief. Then you'll have another authority, and another authority, and another authority, and there'll be no ending to your authority. Not until you really know yourself. And that authority is within yourself, not outside. Peace can only come then, when you begin to know yourself, and not before. Reality can be experienced then, but you will not know what it is, but you will experience that which is created, that intelligence that is behind the universe, that intelligence that is working through you and me at this very moment. Right in the deeper stratas of your consciousness, there is peace. And when the mind is quiet, the consciousness is not caught up in these superficial things, in beliefs and ideas, that layer of consciousness begins to disappear. And as the consciousness becomes freed from all these images, beliefs and ideas, names and so forth, so into the deeper start of your consciousness, there is a quietness. But when you reach that reality, that itself is created, right in the very depth of the ocean of life, there is a consciousness that is created, existing in man, in you and me. That very consciousness that has itself expressing through the outer, through your own brain, that very consciousness has its roots in infinity. And when you begin to see and discern all that is in your mind that is agitating, the conflicts that create your differences, your beliefs, your naming this and naming that, blaming this and blaming that, condemning this and condemning that. Once all that ceases to be, then you reach the deeper state, the consciousness, awareness of itself. There is an awareness, a consciousness that's so deep and so pliable, so powerful and so extraordinary. It is the Christ of God, the only begotten Son of the Father. That is the livingness. Your livingness and my livingness. I and the Father are one. But you cannot say that until you have reached that state. Until there's a quietness of the mind, there is no more of this conflict, then in that quietness you will know that you and the Father are one. Jesus never said, I and the Father are one, as lip service. He didn't make it an idea for you to believe and accept, but you do accept it. How do you accept it? By imitation, not by knowing, but by imitation. It becomes a mental idea, as a superficial, intellectual acceptance. That's all. It's nothing more to you. Nothing. Nothing at all. And if you examine your mind, you will see that it is so. You haven't reached the depth of that greatness. Not until you have seen and understand the mind and understand yourself. And in your understanding of yourself is the path, rather, towards the experiencing of reality, that which is beyond the mind. The great secret of understanding the mind is the discerning of our own thought, feeling, reactions, and where it arises. Then we can free ourselves from the ideas and words of others. Cause and effect arise from within ourselves and not from without. The words of another must take root in the mind, and from this you have a response. You believe or disbelieve, but both believing or not believing are the result of what the mind is made up of. You believe because it pleases you. It pleases that which you have already accepted. You disbelieve because it is contrary to what you have accepted before. Is that not reaction? Mental reaction? But if you knew what was in your mind and what was the bottom of your belief and why you believe in such a way, you wouldn't have a response. There is freedom because you know what is false. That's the truth. You know what is false. When you are free, it drops away from you. Because that which really is, is. You don't create it. It is now, ever present, eternal. If you look into your mind, you will see how true this is. Believing and disbelieving is not understanding. You believe or disbelieve, but you do not understand why you believe or disbelieve. So what's the use? You're still living in conflict. You're still living in ignorance. Ideas presented to the conscious mind are received and passed into the subconscious. Immediately they are accepted or are rejected, not because you reason about them, but because they are accepted or rejected according to your beliefs or ideas. But this is not understanding. And that is why there's so much confusion in the world today. But few want to see it because a belief or an ideal is a reality to most people. But I told you the other night that a reality, that is this ideal, which they think is a reality, is a danger to human people, to the human family, for the simple reason that if you have an ideal and another person has a separate ideal, you will quarrel over your ideals. It's the ideals you quarrel over. It's your beliefs that you struggle with. It's your beliefs that you kill one another for. But if you know and understand how it can come about, if you can trace how your belief has come to be, you can trace it through your family, what they told you when you were young, what school you went to, what church you went to, how you were brought up, and so forth. You can trace it all, and you will see how you believe in such a thing, such a way. I don't say that it's easy for you to trace all these things, but I can assure you, to cleanse your mind and clear it of all that is false, you've got to know how these beliefs arise and how you are conditioned. If you know then how you are conditioned, your conditioning will leave you, and then you are free. Freedom is not something that you create. Freedom is an existing thing at this very moment. Freedom is life, stripped of all conditioning. You have put it in a cage. Your cage is your beliefs, your ideas, your images, your acceptance, your disbelieving, your believing, your condemning, your blaming. How can you understand if you're caught up in these things? If I want to understand you, I cannot condemn you. That's sure enough. And if I want to understand you, I cannot call you a name. And if I do see you conditioned in some way that you are this and that, immediately I condition myself. Because there is no division. There cannot be division between you and me in reality, because there is none. But if I strip you all of these divisions, they pass away. And therefore we both stand together and we have a true relationship with one another. You have never heard these words before, I know. It has never been given to you before, this way. You've always been told in some way that you must make your demonstration this way and demonstration that way. Don't you see, you are led by a lot of fools that knew nothing at all about it. This silly nonsense is taught all over the world today, and the sooner we see how stupid it is, the better. It is only when we see what our minds are made up of that we see how stupid we are. We begin to see how our antagonisms arise, how the conflict and war come about. It is all a matter of our mental makeup and how we are conditioned. Not only do we have war in the external, but this confusion causes war in the internal. These mental impulses are taken up by the sympathetic nervous system and passed on to the physical body. We are today because of our thought feeling of yesterday. Is it not so that the self is a bundle of hates, envies, likes and dislikes, condemning, blaming, accepting, rejecting without reason, just because of our mental makeup? So in our ignorance we call it reality. With all the time, it is but an illusion of the mind. So if you belong to one religion, you say, this is reality. Another person belongs to another religion, they say, this is reality. Another person says, this is the only way. You cannot get to heaven except through this way. And then another person says, no, this is the way. There is no other way except this way. Are you not confused? But those people who talk that way are still confused themselves. Now if you listen to them without reason, without examining and inquiring, you accept what they say and you believe. So therefore you're an imitator. And because you're an imitator, you believe in confusion and conflict with another belief. So you are divided. There is no longer any unity. There is no longer any truth. But if you see the falseness of these things and how false they are, they will fall away. You'll not be conditioned by them. And you will be as God made you, His image and likeness, free from all conditioning. That is the Master. Master is free from conditioning. Not by stilling his mind or forcing his mind to be still, not by disciplining his mind, but by understanding what is in his mind. I'm seeing that he himself and his thoughts are one and not separated. Immediately you think that you and your thoughts are separated, then you begin to fear your thoughts and see your thought as something that's separate to yourself. But to see yourself as your own thought, that self is the creator of the thought, and is not outside the thought, nor is the thought outside the self. It is the self. Therefore, when we understand the self, what it is, to see how false it is, it will pass away, and then you will say, I of myself am nothing. The Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. Is it not so that the self is a bundle of hates, envies, likes and dislikes, blaming, condemning, accepting and so forth? Without reason. So in our ignorance we call it reality. All that time is but an illusion of the mind. It's only when we begin to see this illusion that we begin to realize the real, which is never antagonistic, never envious, never condemning, never blaming, accepting or rejecting. How can it? It'd be working against itself. Constantly understanding what is in the mind enables us to free ourselves from all that hinders the truth from manifesting. The truth is love, wisdom. And not merely the words, love and wisdom. Now, are you reacting on in your intellect? Or are you feeling in the deeper self what I am saying? If you are feeling in your deeper self what I am saying, you will find action there. You will find action is taking place to immediately discern what is in your mind. Even now, even at this very moment, there's a process of discerning going on if you are listening in the deeper centers of your consciousness. If you're listening in the deeper consciousness, then that action will take place. But if it is merely intellectual and you have only a reaction to what I'm saying, then I'm talking to you in vain. I may all talk to the wind, because you have merely a reaction and not action. Action is something that takes place within the self. It's a transformation that takes place. And that transformation takes place immediately. You begin to discern and see what is false. There is no conflict in this, but there is if you try to analyze your thought and look upon it as this bad or evil or good. Analysis will never give you freedom. Awakened consciousness discerning the false, that is the only freedom. Freedom because freedom is. In your analysis, you're caught up in your analyzing. How can you free yourself if you're caught up in anything? You can't even be caught up. You must see the self for what it is. So simple is this. But why is it so difficult? Because the self wants to retain itself. And Jesus' words were very true when he said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who gives up his life for my sake will retain it. He was speaking from the Christ. He was speaking from the Godhead, not from the self. He wasn't speaking from the man Jesus. He was speaking from the Godhead who created the man Jesus. The truth is love, wisdom, but not merely words, love and wisdom. Love, wisdom comes into being when we dissolve all that hinders it. It comes into being when we understand ourselves and our mental makeup. So it is necessary to inquire into the whole process of words, and this is very pertinent. It requires a conscious alertness for inquiring. For instance, some leader, religious or political, makes a statement. Without thinking, you agree. Then you wave flags or you fight. But you have not examined what was said. And since you have not examined what is said, you become an imitator or an objector. You merely react, and so you are further conditioned through your reaction. You either wave flags or you take up guns. You wave a flag because you believe, or you reject, or you fight because you don't believe. If you can't see the stupidity of that, well, you're not worthy of being students of this wonderful truth of the Master's teachings. You must see these things clearly, and by seeing them clearly, you will see how false they are. What you have to discover is, what is the cause of your condition? Then the mind begins to free itself from its conditioning. In this alone can truth be realized. Once the mind begins to understand the false will be seen instantly, and then it dissolves into nothingness where it belongs. For truth only has its own eternity. I have repeated many times that error has no principle, has nothing to stand upon, has no foundation. It only exists in the mind that is ignorant of its nature. So with most people in the world today, they want to bridge the unbridgeable. They want to serve both truth and error. They pray to God while steeped in error. They want reality, yet still cling to the illusion of error. It cannot be done. There is no truth in ignorance. God is not divided. As I told you the other day, you must know what the self is. If the self is cunning, the self is a liar, the self is this and that, you must know it. And by knowing what you are, you can free yourself. And yet, you're struggling with what you're not. But immediately you give up way to this conflict, there's a freedom that comes. But when you know what you are free. There's no longer any trouble. And it falls away from you. That which really is comes into being. Love. Love is the secret of it all. But love is not the love that wears on your sleeve. Love is something deeper than that. But if you can completely love one, completely, mind you, I'm not talking about half love or any other kind of love. I'm speaking of complete love in one person alone, completely, then you will love the whole. Because one is the whole. And as soon as you are in that state of love, then you have freed yourself of that which is not love, which is an imitation of love. Truth is action, error is reaction. You all know reaction, but very few know action. For action only comes when we understand that the word God is not God. But the name for a thing is not the thing itself. Action can only be done in the present, never in the past or the future. You can only act now. You can't act yesterday. Can you act tomorrow? Where is yesterday and where is tomorrow anyhow? There is a conscious awareness of the eternal truth when there is a constant awareness that deserves the false. It was this that Jesus meant when he said, watch and pray. We must ever be on the watch for the false that seeks our health, strength, and happiness. If we are careless and accept the false, we have ourselves to blame. Whatever our mind accepts without consideration or examination, so do we condition ourselves, and we will surely outpicture that conditioning. How necessary then it is for us to be wide awake and alert, to watch and pray. Jesus' words for praying was a different thing and a different idea towards your idea of praying. Your praying always is when you want something, when you're struggling with something, and when you are in doubt, or when you are in despair, or when you are in pain, when you are in trouble, you pray. And you pray to God for a release of your trouble. That is what it takes. Now, what are you doing? You're struggling with your trouble. You have an idea of God somewhere that will relieve you of your trouble. And you're praying to a God somewhere outside yourself. A God that's no God at all, but just an idea in your mind. Jesus' prayer was not that at all. His prayer was a continual realization of his oneness with life, with his oneness with God. And watching was that, to watch that no false thing would interfere with that completeness, that which then there was no division. That's why he said, there are many flocks, there are other flocks, and I shall go and shall bring all those flocks, and there shall be one flock, and there shall be one shepherd. Meaning, there is no division. The Christ, the only begotten Son, the Father, is the livingness, the unconditioned state of man. Man in his freedom, no longer in bondage, but free. And man has it in his own hands this very moment to live in the present. That is the secret of it. If you can live in the present, then eternally, the present is the only thing, the livingness of Christ. Therefore, you live in the present. But what do? You live in the past, your memories, and your memories influence you in the present. The future influences you too. You're caught up both in the past and the future, and you do not know where you are. You're living in a world of conflict, are you not? Are you creative then? There is no creativeness in you. Creativeness only comes when you're living now in the present, in that livingness that is free. Then you discern all that is false. We must ever be on the watch for the false that seeks our health. Our well-being exists in that foundation which is happiness, health, and abundance, the ever-present. When we do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we take hold of the tree of life, which is eternal. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is man's own growing, dies with the self, for the self must die before the greater self comes into being. For when we cling to life, we have to deny the self. You cling to life, or you cling to the self. If you really know what you are doing, you cling to that tree of life, what does the prophet say? He says, forsake this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat to them. He says, but cling to this tree of life, which will be your salvation, the spring of living water rising up to eternal life. If you cling to life, you must deny the self. You can't live with the two. You can't live in error and truth at the same time, because there is no truth in error. There is no truth in ignorance, and God is not divided. By doing so, our right thinking produces what we delight in. This is action. He who seeks to save his life alone will lose it. He who gives up his life for my sake will retain it. There can be no relationship between action and reaction, just as there can be no relationship between a lazy person and an active person. Awareness is action which leads to reality. Awareness is a field in which reality can operate. And only when you're aware of the false can then reality operate. If you're caught up in the false, will you not be expressing your own conditioning? Can't you see then how you're caught up in these things? We do not have to seek out reality. It comes directly, silently, and the mind that is capable of receiving reality is blessed. Therefore, health, happiness, and abundance are not created. They are always existing in the present. To live in the present, which is action, with no past or future, which is reaction, there is living in the abundant now, which alone is reality, because it is everything. But is your mind caught up on the past and the future? I wish that you would take this lesson really to heart and feel deep within you the true meaning of it. It is widely recognized by those who know that invisible matter can be condensed into solid mass by mind action, that it undergoes chemical changes as a result of mental changes, because matter is mind modified, matter is mind materialized. So when considering the cause and cure of any disease, whether it be of mind and body, we must bear in mind that matter is plastic to our thoughts. By complete understanding our mental processes, we'll be able to dissolve away any condition that is a result of error. So you will see how your thoughts rise, how they come into being. When it has no existence on its own, it's an illusion. It passes away, dissolves into nothingness. You can't catch an error, can you, in the sky? You can't see it something, can you? You can't put an error in a box and say it is there. You can't put an error in the present. You can't put an error into the law of mathematics, can you? There is a great difference between words and actions. This is what I call verbal appreciation. And then there is the real understanding. We all verbally appreciate that love, affection, goodwill is the only solution, the only way out of the mess we are in today. And because you are thoughtful, you will agree. But why don't you act? For the very simple reason that verbal response is identified with the intellectual response and is only superficial. And that's all it is. And I said in the beginning, if then you are merely reacting and only creating further ideas in your mind through my speaking to you in this way, then I've spoken to you in vain. But if you feel deeply within your very selves, their action will take place, and not only will react in the superficial intellectualism, but you will feel a knowing, an activity, in the very soul to act out, to bring about a better understanding between man and man. Intellectually you have grasped the idea and remains in the intellectual level, so there is a division between the idea and action that cannot be bridged. So you can't bridge the idea and action. The idea in the mind remains in the mind, and you can't put them together. Why? Because they are merely intellectual reaction. They belong to the superficial. The majority of people in the world live in the intellectual superficiality that is useless and nonsense. This is why the cultivation of ideas merely create counter-ideas. Although ideas may bring about a revolution, it will not be a real transformation of the individual and therefore of society, because you merely react but do not act. If we dwell in the intellectual level, we merely create ideas, but this is not action, it is merely reaction. We must examine ourselves to see if we are merely fed on words. We will say that the Bible says this and the Gita says that. If those words only produce ideas, they will never produce action. That is why we have this gap, which we cannot bridge. The gap between words and actions cannot be bridged. We must realize that we are merely reacting. And when we realize that we are merely reacting and not acting, then we will act. But not until you realize that you are merely reacting intellectually. If you don't realize that, you will never do anything. As long as we are fed on words, we will merely react. Therefore, we must empty ourselves of words, which means we will empty ourselves of imitation. Words are merely imitative, thus we live in the intellectual level, which is based upon imitation. So intellectually, we are incapable of action. You see it all over the world, don't you? The intellectuals. Have you ever seen them? I've seen a lot of them. They go about with hair all over the face, and hair down their back, and trousers hanging along the ground, and dirty faces, and all sorts of things like that. And they think that they are intellectual. So they want to think out intellectual things, and that sort of thing. And we see them all over the place. They wear corduroy trousers hanging down, bags over this, and a tie hung round the neck with a twist on it, and the hat probably twisted those one over one eye, or whatever the case may be. And some of them with the half the hair shaved off one side and still on the other, bald patch here and a bald patch there, whatever the case may be. And you'll see them, many of them, in the Theosophical Society. They read book after book. But do you ever see any action out of it? Never. It's living on the intellectual level. You can read as many books as you like, crawling around the books, but it'll never do you any good. You must have action. When we begin to see clearly this fact, we will act without reaction. We will be transformed, and only in that transformation of the individual is there peace, love, and goodwill, and not in ideals or words. Therefore, love is not a word or an idea, is it? Love, goodwill are not words nor ideas, are they? But they are to most of you just mere words. But if you experience love, if you experience goodwill, you would understand. But not until you get rid of the idea of goodwill, or the idea of love, will it be of any value to you. Love, goodwill are not words nor ideas, but you are satisfied with the word because it gives you a sensation. You are psychologically affected. And this response you call understanding. Oh, what a travesty of the truth. If we understood that, and the people understood, or say that if we really understood, there would be no trouble with conflict we have today. Jesus said, it's the letter that killeth. What a wonderful truth. but few comprehend it. It is only when they become aware that you know that you are on the intellectual level by discerning your thought, feeling, reaction. If my words only create in you a mental reaction, an imitative response in accordance to your ideas, then I have spoken in vain. But if it makes you inquire into the whole intellectual process and see what it is, then this will lead to action, and action alone will bring about the omnipresence of the omniscient omnipotence, which is the life within each one, which is love and wisdom, the true reality. So we may say, God is within us. God is the omnipotence, the mighty power that's within us. And you have an idea of what it is. You say, wonderful, what a wonderful thing it is. And you will say, when this idea becomes true, what a wonderful nation, what a wonderful world it will be. It will go on till doomsday. It will never happen. Your ideal will never come, because you're fighting with the opposite. You're living in conflict. You have an ideal and you're still struggling with the opposite. You have an ideal of good and you struggle with evil. Are you living in opposites or you're not? And you can see, and you have an idea of what this is, this mighty power, an idea of it. But does it become a mighty power to you because you've an idea of it? I have never seen anybody yet producing power through an idea of a power. But I have seen power being expressed when there was action and not reaction. Not an idea, but a livingness that comes into being. When that which hinders the expression of that power coming into action. Intelligence is action in itself. It is action. But if you merely react to a stimulus, an idea, and the world creates an idea in your mind, a reaction, another idea in which you react to what I say, only creates another idea in your mind, do you think that you're going to have power? To a mere idea? Don't you see that you're preventing the power from manifesting in your life? It's not an idea of the power. It's a livingness. You all feel that passing through your whole body. You feel it flowing through you. Why? It's not an idea of it, is it? I couldn't have an idea of it because I don't know what it is. That's why I couldn't have an idea of it. If an idea of it, then I limit myself to my idea. But if I cleanse my mind of all ideas, and I know that it is. Then, in that knowing that it is, it is. That's action. When you say something to me, you'll find very often I say nothing to you. I don't even answer you. Why? Because I'm not reacting to you. I'm not reacting to what you're saying at all. I'm seeing far ahead. I'm seeing beyond your mind. I'm seeing something else. I'm seeing how stupid your talk is. I see how stupid the whole thing is. If I should react to it. If I hold myself then in knowing, in that knowing then clearly, then I free you as well as I free myself. You feel free as well as I feel free, because I free you through my own freedom. We are not divided. If there is a division between you and me, then there is no relief. If you make a nationality a division, and you make a group a division, and you make a religion a division, well, you must see how false it is. And if you see how false it is, it will drop away from you, will it not? And you will be free from that division, will you not? Because you will understand it. And if you can't understand it, you will still be living in your division, won't you? And you will be still living in your limitation, will you not? Only in wholeness and completeness is reality. Only in wholeness and completeness is there no division. Only in wholeness is there love and wisdom. There is no love and wisdom in division, because it doesn't exist in division. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In a nutshell, there is a man who saw the whole thing in a nutshell. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the only way you can love God. Because you don't know God, you've never seen Him. But when you love your neighbor, then you love God. Because your neighbor is, God is there, as well as in you, and there is no division. And when Jesus said these words, He said them at a time to give the people an understanding, which they could not understand if He said, there is no division in God. God is one whole. All exists in Him. There is no outside Him. It is God. It is everywhere. And you must love your neighbor to love God, because that is God. And if you see then your neighbor as yourself, then you will know there is no division. There's wholeness and completeness. Benedict. O great omnipresence of love, thou art beyond mental ideas, thou art real, not merely a word or an idea. When I read of thy beauty and perfection, I compared it with my own conception and lost thy ever-present loveliness. But when I saw how I'd made just an idea of thee, my idea dissolved away, as there thou didst reveal thyself. Now I know my intellect is incapable of knowing thy love, for love is not made up in the mind. Now thou art my sculptor, my awareness to chisel, to cut away the faults. Henceforth I will watch and pray, so that thy beauty alone shall shine from me, O great omnipresence of love.